This is the Trinitonian Podcast.
This is
your source for a weekly roundup of campus news, events, insights, perspectives, and more.
This is the Trinitonian.
The Trinitonian.
The Trinitonian Podcast.
This is the Trinitonian Podcast.
For the week of November 4th, this is the Trinitonian Podcast. I'm your host, Dominic Anthony. Later in the podcast, an interview with first-year student Keller Meharry, who spent the summer working as a contract firefighter battling the Carr wildfire in California. But first, Trinitonian Executive Print Editor Kathleen Creedon with a news update.
A student staff and faculty search committee has been searching for a new assistant director for Greek life, a position currently held by Jeremy Allen. Allen plans to leave Trinity by November 15th. The search committee is preparing how to sustain aspects of Allen's role if the position is still vacant on November 15th. The members of the search committee are planning to take on a few of his responsibilities while continuing interviews. So far, two candidates were invited to campus, but the spot remains unfilled. Alumni Relations has created an app called Alumni Directory that will serve as a resource that Trinity alumni can use to connect with one another. Alumni will be able to share their name, class year, contact information, and any other information that is available on LinkedIn. The app, available for iPhone and Android, will be released on November 19th. TU Secular Student Alliance aims to provide a place for students to discuss what it means not to believe in a religion and allow students to be more comfortable with their identity in the community. Students interested in joining or learning more about TU Secular Student Alliance should contact Alex Bradley or request to join the Facebook group.
Up next, an interview with first-year student Keller Meharry, who spent this past summer as a contract firefighter battling the Carr fire in California.
We're going to begin here with the spreading fire that is threatening thousands of homes in California. One firefighter was killed today.
Yeah, where the death toll from a massive fire burning north of Sacramento is
35% contained. To give you some perspective, it's four times the size of San Francisco.
The massive Carr fire doubled in size overnight, with the burn areas now.
Two other firefighters were killed earlier this week. More than 80 wildfires are still burning in 13 states. More than 38,000 people have been evacuated.
I'm Keller Meharry. I'm from Birmingham, Alabama. I'm at Trinity thinking about studying marketing. I grew up around firefighting. My dad was a hotshot, which is the sort of firefighting equivalent of like a Navy SEAL. And so he used that for 8 years. And so he was never really around during the summers when I was a kid. And I was just sort of used to it. Like, he wasn't around till my 10th birthday, which was kind of interesting because my birthday's right in prime fire season. So I grew up around it. And at that time, my uncle on my mom's side also owned a contracting company. And so I just sort of grew up around it. I was used to it. And it was just something I always figured I'd do. And then turned 18 and went out on a fire like 2 days later. I went to right on Oregon and California, hopping between the two. You basically show up and there may or may not be a camp set up yet. But once camp's set up, it's basically just there's a bunch of contractors that exist for it already. So you've got like contract showers, contract kitchens, contract whatever. And they all show up in trailers, and some farmer rents out his field to the government, and then, like, voila, overnight you have a 4,000-person city.
Wow.
On some of these fires. Like, ours was, like, 4,400 people. The whole thing is just a super profound experience every time you're on a fire. It's really hard. And I just got out there to California, and I got out there 2 days after they'd had a fire tornado. So it was, like, an EF3 tornado of fire. And they lost a couple guys, and so it was a really weird situation to come into because they just lost, like, two people in that, and then they lost another person the next day, and then we showed up, and it was just crazy. And it was a little weird when you show up in a briefing. They're like, don't die.
So your safety absolutely isn't guaranteed during these outings?
No, I mean, that fire we ended up having while I was there, 9 people died.
Wow.
Yeah.
How do you handle that when you're out on the fire? Do you think about it, or do you just stay focused on what you're doing?
I mean, you think about it to the extent that, like, you joke about it. Like, I'll text my mom every day, not dead. So, like, I don't know. You just sort of joke about it, like, hey, I might die today, just to, like, keep it off your mind. But otherwise, you just don't think about it. It's just a grind. I mean, you're working typically 16 hours. So you'll start your shift at, like, I don't know, your shift technically starts at like 6 or 7 in the morning, and it technically ends at 11, but you're already up at like 5. You got to have breakfast and stuff and get to a briefing, get ready. You've got to, every day, you've got to check the fire engine, make sure it's ready to go. So you got to go through the oil, the lights, everything, go down, check tires, everything. Because if it breaks down, you have a crappy day. Yeah, you just go through everything, get fresh waters, fresh lunches for the day. Make sure your packs are filled up with water, so that way if you have to like leave the engine, you have to have a pack and a fire shelter with you. You gotta be on it, gotta be ready to go. You just grind and you don't sleep, and then you wake up and then you grind some more, and then you don't sleep and you wake up, and then you grind some more, and then you don't sleep, and you just get gradually more and more tired. Don't sleep and you wake up, and then you grind some more, and then you don't sleep, and more silly, and it becomes more and more of a grind, and you just gotta like suck it up.
Obviously, this is very important work. Why do you personally do it?
Personally, because it pays really well. It's really fun if you're into like being a masochist and like just doing really crappy things for fun. It's mostly just really fun. It pays really well. And it's like cool every time you're there and everybody's like, thank you so much for what you're doing. And I'm like, yeah, that's great. It's cool because I'm having so much fun this whole time. And you meet just so many great people. I'm currently deciding whether or not to make a career out of it. We'll see. It's a bit of a weird career, but I'm definitely going to fight this summer and next summer for sure. I'm trying to get on one of those hotshot crews I mentioned. So fires have really changed a lot in the last 10, 20 years. Mainly just there's a lot more big fires due to a combination of us being idiots and climate change. Since about, I don't know, the 30s, we put out every single forest fire really quick. Mm. And then the problem is, that allows fuel to build up in the forest because forest fires are a natural part of the ecosystem. And if you get a nice light fire comes through, clears out the underbrush, makes it much less likely to burn and hop into the upper trees. It also restores nutrients in the ground. It's really good if you have a nice light fire. But the problem is we have so much fuel buildup from years of not having those light fires that when you do get a fire, you just get these massive fires.
How do you guys balance that now between letting the blaze burn the way it needs to and putting out the fire that's, you know, putting your lives at risk?
That's a weird question because it's really political. It depends on who handles the fire, which is a weird political thing, because sometimes the fire is under federal jurisdiction or state jurisdiction. And so in California where we were, this was a state fire, but it was on federal land too. And so they were sort of butting heads on how to do it. Because the federals like to let stuff burn so you don't have it reburn in a long time. They don't like to be as aggressive with the fire. And then Cal Fire, the California State Fire Agency, really likes to be aggressive. And so they're sort of butting heads the entire time we were there. So it was weird. So like some days we'd be really aggressive. And then other days we'd be like, nah, we're just going to let it burn. Can I say like a personal message about firefighting?
Sure.
Okay, so they have these massive planes that look really great on television that drop big amounts of retardant. And everybody's like, why don't you use those more? Because there's like, they're like 3 million to go though. And people don't get that. Like it's 3 million to go and it's not that effective. So we just need more helicopters. So whenever you see cool videos on Facebook of planes, they're wasting money. Mm. Just always wanted people to know this. It's so stupid.
The Carr wildfire burned from July 23rd through August 30th, destroying over 200,000 acres and 1,600 buildings. There are currently 8 confirmed fatalities caused by the fire. Up next, Trinitonian news editor Kendra Daring with an update on the last SGA meeting.
At this week's SGA meeting, Cheryl Tynes, Vice President for Student Life, Deb Tyson, Director of Residential Life, and David Tunnell, Dean of Students, took questions from members of SGA as the third part of the Vice President series. Notably, Tyson detailed the plans to renovate South, Vernon McLean, Beezy, and Herndon Residence Halls in summer 2017. Between now and summer, the lounges in Brazel Residence Halls will be updated, the hallway carpet in Whitwin Residence Hall will be replaced with vinyl, and the green space between Calvert and Miller Residence Halls will be landscaped. Tyson also said that there is no plan to increase Trinity's population or to change the 3-year residency requirement. When asked, Tynes did not supply specific information about the abrupt firing of Stacey Davidson last summer. Tynes did note that the higher you climb in an organization, the greater the expectations are, and that some people handle these expectations better than others. Tuttle remarked on how difficult it has been to watch the student reaction, noting that students seem to use Davidson's firing as indicative of bigger issues on campus. Tuttle assured that decisions like firing Stacey Davidson are complicated, and that they want a good campus climate for underrepresented students.
Up next, Trinitonian sports editor Austin Davidson with an update on fall sports.
The football team just defeated Austin College 14-0, which means they've moved up to 6-3. That was also a SCAC victory, which means that it's placing them even higher in the postseason rankings and also giving them a better spot going into the postseason. The women's and men's soccer teams also had incredibly successful weekends at the SCAC tournament. The boys came away with a win against Texas Lutheran 2-1. Went into overtime. Forward Frazier Burns scored the winning goal, I believe, in the 108th minute. And then currently they're playing Southwestern right now in the SCAC finals. The women's also had a very successful weekend. They started off the SCAC conference with a victory over Shriner 5-0. And they just defeated Southwestern 1-0. Sports that are going to be coming up are women's and men's basketball. They start their games this week. And football is continuing its season. They will start gearing up for the postseason. The boys basketball start their games going into this next Wednesday against Mary Hardin Baylor. And then women's basketball begins their season next Monday against Concordia.
That's it for this week's edition of the Trinitonian Podcast. The Trinitonian Podcast is recorded at the studios of Trinity University's KRTU 91.7 FM, San Antonio's home for jazz by day and indie by night, and produced by me, Dominic Anthony. Our intro music is Elac, written by San Antonio-based project Vana, and our outro music is Vacation, written by San Antonio-based project Elna. Tell me.